When it comes to money, there are so many ways to learn vital lessons and techniques that help us make wiser financial decisions. Whether you're someone who likes to learn about financial topics for fun or tends to learn from experience, becoming financially literate is a goal most of us should strive for. In this episode, we're discussing financial literacy and its crucial role in our lives and society. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Triangle's Making Money Personal podcast, where we engage in real talk about financial matters that affect our community. Today's episode is sponsored by Triangle Credit Union, recently voted best credit union in New Hampshire.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Making Money Personal podcast. I'm Liz here with Terry and Kevin. How are you guys doing?
I was going to try and come up with like a money pun, and I can't think of anything.
Only if it makes sense.
But boom.
He got it for you, Terry.
Oh, man. I should just let you lead with that every single time. Every single time. That's awesome.
I'm doing well.
You're doing well.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I'm cool. Doing well.
Well, awesome.
I feel like $100.
Ooh.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
Very good.
And we all know that with inflation, $100 doesn't really cover that much anymore. So,
but
I'm kind of you know.
Yeah, that's why the phrase is, isn't it? I feel like $1,000,000.
Oh, well, I feel like $100 because you know,
so
back
you're okay.
Then.
Yeah.
Her point's been made pretty much at that point. Yeah.
That's a good one though, Kev.
Cool. Well, today we want to talk about financial literacy. So, and particularly the reason why is because April is known as Financial Literacy Month. And since we're a financial institution and this is a financial podcast, we want to just kind of share some information about financial literacy, talk about what it is, and then provide some insights. So, I guess the very first question that we kind of wanted to get started with is, why is it important to discuss and promote financial literacy?
Well, I'm going to take a shot. So I feel like that it's our civic duty as a financial institution to offer financial literacy. And, you know, I'm not sure about the banks in the financial industry, but I do know that credit unions take that responsibility very seriously. And it's part of a lot of our community initiatives in terms of what kind of, you know, programs we offer. And when we do... for us, for Triangle Credit Union, this is sponsored by Triangle Credit Union. But for us, what we typically will look at is at the beginning of the year, you know, I don't want to get way into the weeds with this, but we'll look at different programs that make sense throughout the course of the year and whether we're going to offer those as webinars or seminars. But we try to identify certain topics that make sense seasonally. That's usually how it how we operate, right? So for the beginning of the year, we always start off with a budgeting, you know, and like a budgeting 101 or budgeting for the new year or whatever. And then, you know, with the holiday season comes typically a lot of debt. So we follow our financial literacy program follows with, you know, how to pay off debt. And that's usually at the, you know, sometime in February. Also in February this year, we started with President's Day being a huge auto shopping time of year. We ended up doing a special webinar on how to prepare your credit for, you know, your new auto purchase. So that was new for us. And then, you know, but we have other initiatives like, you know, college night. This is something we traditionally offered and first time home buyer programs and things like that. So, It's about educating, you know, educating our members, educating our community. We did a member survey, I think, at the end of last year, and a lot of our members who participated in that survey came back with specific topics for us to think about and to, you know, try and get our hands around. So, yeah, so that's my little overview, I guess, of financial literacy.
Yeah.
That's good. So words can sometimes intrigue me, and so I tend to look up words just because it, you know, obviously, if you know what it means, it adds to your understanding of what is being said. So I looked up the word literacy, and aside from what everybody kind of knows the definition to mean, one of its other definitions means competence or knowledge in a specified area. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what better way to promote that for our members and really just in general financial literacy, to be providing information, tips like what we're doing here, and just continually, like you said, Terry, with all of the different things that we evaluate and say what would be good this year to make available to our listeners or to our members through the website and stuff, to promote that knowledge and understanding. Because literacy isn't just you receive some information, right? Literacy is competence. And so by providing this, it goes to why it's most important is when you provide this for folks, if they're able to grab a hold of it and assimilate it and use it in their life, then what you're doing is you're promoting, frankly, a better lifestyle for them.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's a really good point too, Kev, because typically when I think of financial literacy and some of the endeavors that we've delivered in the past, it's always been through, as I mentioned, either a webinar or in-person seminars. But this podcast is about financial literacy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we deliver financial information. We deliver, you know, just, we try to. Kevin's looking at me like, I don't know.
No. I'm smiling because sometimes it's about laughs.
It is. It should always be about laughs.
It should be about laughs.
You know, we have to keep it a little bit entertaining. But, you know, so, you know, just by virtue of us being here today, we're providing financial literacy.
Yeah.
So
I don't know about you guys, but I've wondered if there's an increasing desire or thirst among people to learn more about their finances. And it might go back to what you were saying, Kevin, in the whole thought of it's more competency is more than just the knowledge too. So you can know about the money, but you have to learn to apply it to your life. And why would you do that? To live a better life, right, to meet your goals, to be able to achieve things you may not have been able to achieve. Like if you have a dream of owning a house, how are you going to get there? If you have a dream of completing a college degree and financing it, so how are you going to do that? You know, stuff like that. So it's like using your money in a way that will improve yourself, your lifestyle, your situation.
Yeah, literacy covers all that, doesn't it? It covers why those things you mentioned are even important.
Right.
Because if, you know, I suppose money, because it's the most necessary thing that we, other than air, I suppose, because you can't buy anything, you can't take care of yourself without money, that doesn't make it automatically that you have understanding with money or that you have, you know, when I think of financial literacy, I think of not only what money is or what it's intended to do, but just being able to handle it properly in a way that, as you said, that it not only works for you, but in a way that's going to be healthy for you.
Right.
So that not just in your finances, but maybe in other areas when you have financial literacy and you're using it properly, it will have an effect on the rest of your life. So.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, I'm going to go over, there's actually some little statistics that I wanted to share and get some thoughts from you guys on these stats based on an online article here. They just list some key findings from a study that was done in 2023. And they say that the percentage of U.S. adults with poor financial literacy increased from 20% in 2017 to 25% in 2023. So not a huge increase, but a little bit of an increase. They say Gen Z and Gen Y have the lowest financial literacy rates among generations. They say financial literacy is correlated with income, as only 28% of Americans earning less than $25,000 per year are financially literate.
Do they happen to define where, when they mention a stat like that, do they happen to define what their metric is for financial literacy?
So what they used... they had questions. They had these people answer like specific finance questions.
Oh,
and I'm
see.
Guessing it's based on how many correct answers that they got.
I see.
So let's see if they list some of those questions. They may not have listed them, but it must have been some type of literacy test.
I see.
So is there a correlation between not having money and then not knowing how to, it sounds like there's, when you don't have money, you don't know how to deal with money.
Is the causation? Like, is it because you don't have the money or is it because you're not financially literate that you don't have the money? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't really go into the depth of that. They do say it is correlated with income, whether or not that means that the lower money you make, that means you're not financially literate. I don't know if it's like that.
Right. Hmm. Well, you think about, you know, some of these sports figures, right? And they have managers. And so what do they want to do? They want to just go out and either throw a basketball or a baseball or whatever. And they just relinquish all responsibility of their money. And then, you know, now they're retired, fast forward 15 years, and they have no money.
Right.
Right. So that I don't know if there is a correlation
between. I think you're right there, Terry. I like that comment.
You know, between income and not, you know, knowledge.
Or take someone who wins the lottery, for example.
Right.
You know, they become a billionaire or something like that. But then if you're not financially literate, that doesn't automatically mean you're smart with money.
Yeah.
You're
good
with
money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Your literacy then is not related to, because there's plenty of people who don't make a lot of income, but they're frugal, or they're smart with the money that they have, or they understand, you know, particularly, and a lot of this probably goes to more fundamental things about your environment, your background, what you witnessed, you know, maybe growing up, maybe what you had growing up or didn't have growing up, that I think contributes to your financial literacy. And if you're navigating that without any help, I think sometimes the unhealthy stuff tends to get repeated without some, well, literacy in this case, financial literacy being interjected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Injected.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, another example of that is, and I just read this article, I think it was last year, but there was a guy and he was, I think he lived either in the Lakes area or up north, but he passed away and he rode around town on a tractor, on a lawn tractor. And lo and behold, when he, passed away, I don't think he had any heirs or anything like that, right? So his net worth was like in excess of $1 million.
Wow.
And he had ended up, you know, the beneficiaries, I'm not sure, I don't know if it was the town or whatever, but you hear about that too, like librarians, mm-hmm. these, you know, these real quiet people are just like, you know, just under the radar. They're not living lavish lifestyles at all, and they're saving their money, and they have the literacy, right? Because when they pass away, it's like, wow, they've accumulated a lot there, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to open the proverbial can of worms and things like that, but I'm wondering if generationally those things play out. You know, thinking about when my parents were teenagers, their parents would have been from the Depression.
Right.
And then you think, now, does social media have an impact on financial literacy?
Yes.
And what people see as being the value of money, or, you know, now we're trying to combat inflation like we never have. So do those things play into financial literacy? Does that affect someone's overall approach or even psyche when it comes to money?
Yeah.
And their financial literacy.
Yep. Yeah. I think going back to your thought, Terry, about the the individuals who live modest lives, but they end up amassing all kinds of money. There's a story about that. I looked him up. His name's Ronald Reed. He was a janitor and a gas station attendant. And he ended up leaving. Let's see. He had a modest salary. But to everyone, when he passed, to everyone's surprise, when he passed at 92, he left an $8 million fortune.
Wow.
And he did it by living frugally, investing wisely. And apparently it led him to be very generous. He left $6 million to his local library and $4.8 million to Brattleboro Memorial Hospital.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
So that's amazing. I guess like one of the things here is it's it's not so much how much money you make, it's what you do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So just wanted to share that little story. He was he was from Vermont.
Yeah, you touched on something that I want to bring up later, because one of the future questions we have, so I'm glad you shared that, because it will make more sense when I say what I have to say.
It's not going to make sense. We're going to forget about it. We're like, what the heck, Kevin? What are you bringing that up?
Well, actually, so one thing I kind of want to do right now really quickly is I found Investopedia has a short little financial literacy quiz. And so I want to kind of get listeners aware of the types of things that financial literacy topics are typically regarding. I want to see if you guys can provide some answers. You want to be quizzed real quick?
Yeah. And if we don't know the answer, can we just say, I want to phone a friend?
I'll just pretend like my mic cut out.
Okay.
Darn this
mic. So this is the first one. Which of these is not part of determining your credit score? the amount of credit used compared to available credit, your marital status, or your payment history?
Marital status.
That one's pretty easy. But again, you know, I mean,
everybody knows married people. It's just kidding.
Marital status could affect it depending upon, you know, what your spouse does with money, how much money they have.
When you invest in an employer's traditional 401k retirement plan, your contributions are taxed once a year on or around April 15th before you invest them or when you withdraw them during retirement.
When you withdraw them.
Yeah, when you withdraw.
It's not giving me the answers right now, but it will at the end. I'm pretty sure you guys are right. Okay, what causes inflation? Increases in wages, price of raw materials, taxes, and or a decrease in productivity, corporate profits, or the President of the United States?
Wow, that's a hot ticket.
Is there an all of the above? What causes inflation? I would have thought.
For cost of raw goods, I think.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
The increase of wages, price of raw materials, taxes. Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah.
We'll select that. Which of these is not a stock market index? New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, or the S&P 500?
S&P 500.
I've heard of all of them, so which one is not stock exchange?
It's not an index.
Yeah. Oh, it's not an
index.
Oh, so what NASDAQ, was it again? I thought it was the New York Stock Exchange,
the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500.
Ooh.
The New York Stock Exchange.
Is that?
I think you're right.
Let's see. I'm sorry. I thought it was one. like a trading
yeah.
floor.
Okay, you guys should know this one. What does annual percentage rate mean? APR is the rate you earn over the course of multiple years on money deposited. APR is the rate you pay in interest on money borrowed. APR is the rate you pay in interest on money borrowed after you've paid taxes.
Second one.
B.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false? Annual percentage yield is the interest you earn over the course of a full year on money deposited.
Yes. True.
Yeah.
True.
Annual is the key word.
Okay. So that concluded the quiz. Doesn't give me answers right off the bat, which is kind of annoying. I had to give them my email, so of course. But I will let you guys know the answers when they come in. But one thing about these questions that got me thinking was that, you know, when I think about financial literacy, I mainly just think the basics of money, right? Saving, spending, all that kind of stuff. I don't always go to, you know, understanding what APR actually is, what an APY actually is. Like a lot of the banking terminology too, that's necessary for anyone who's interested in taking out a loan. Like that's part of being financially literate, is understanding the what's involved with borrowing money or saving your money or getting interest, like an APY, a yield.
Right.
So that's kind of something that reading these questions, I was kind of like, oh yeah, that's right. It's more than just like, what's a budget?
Right.
You know, what's an emergency fund?
Right. And what's interesting about the whole APR and APY, I mean, I've worked for the credit union now for, I think I'm on my 16th year, and I know that there's a calculation for it, but when you're doing a comparison, it's usually like if you see, like, let's say we're running a special and it's a deposit special and the APY is like, you know, 4% or whatever, right? So now you see that the local, there's another credit union down the street and it's 5.25%. But there is, or it doesn't matter, one of ours might be an intro, right? Only for 3 months, whereas another, you know, a little bit higher one or a little bit lower one rather could be for a year. And it's like, you know, when you do those calculations net net, the intro, the higher intro might not be your best deposit option for, you know, for overall interest.
Yeah, great point. And we obviously are doing this podcast for Triangle because we work for Triangle. But we certainly want our members to be good consumers.
Right.
And we want to be good consumers ourselves. So that is a very good add-on to an understanding what financial literacy is, so that you can not make your money work for you, but it makes complete sense.
Right.
That when you not just taking the first interest rate or just because you can afford the monthly payment, does that make it the best deal for you?
Right.
And I think some of that financial literacy, with the examples that you both gave about the people that were surprisingly had a lot of wealth built up, is where some of that comes from, is knowing what truly is a good
right.
deal and
right.
what the cost of the money actually is.
Right.
So now I know for just the APY, APR, that's why institutions, financial institutions are required to provide that conspicuously so that people can make good financial decisions
right.
about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they used to bury that sort of thing, but they can't do that anymore.
Right, exactly. No, 100%.
Yeah, I guess it kind of brings you into, you know, a further understanding that financial literacy kind of grows with you too. Like as you age, as you get older, the money things that you get involved with are different. You know,
yeah.
a 10-year-old isn't going to be taking out an auto loan, you know, so the things that they have to understand is a little different, but you kind of build on that as you age. You know, you become a teenager and maybe you can get a car loan at a certain point, you know, whether you have a cosigner or something, you know, and then you get older and then you learn more about mortgages. So like financial literacy, it grows with you, or at least
right.
it should, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
it's good. Good point.
It's important for any age.
Yeah. And I feel like that, you know, the other thing too, is that you really need to make a concerted effort about enhancing your knowledge. I don't even know if that's the right
term.
Broadening. Thank you. but one of the things that I have done in the past is, you know, I do try and read a financial book every year. And I started off with A Millionaire Next Door. That was, I don't know if you've read that book.
I just finished that book.
It's a great book. And it's, you know, it's an easy read. It's not overwhelming.
How much does it cost?
Well, when I bought it 1,000 years ago, and here's a little, this is another little financial literacy tip. I always buy my books on eBay. And it's like, you know,
save
just
some
get
money.
Used books, and it's you know.
Yep.
So 99 cents is the correct answer.
Very good
on that. Free shipping, paperback.
Did you have something you were going to share?
No. You mentioned something about financial literacy being important at any age, and you're spot on with that because, I think some people have a situation where they are taught those things from a younger age, and there are those that don't. And so anytime we can provide that, or that can be provided to somebody, no matter where they find themselves, whether they're 10 or 16 or 36, or in my case, 49, there's always things you can do differently because you're at a different place in life. My wife and I are a few years away from technically being empty nesters with three kids in college. So financial literacy looks like for us that, you know, it's ramen and SpaghettiOs for
get yourself a good rice cooker is what I'm talking
about.
Oh
yeah, that's true. I do like rice and 99 cent books. And 99 cent books. But that will play in maybe in some of the what we're going to talk about shortly, but that understanding where you're at and what you need to do with your money is part of financial literacy.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think some of the, well, I'll wait.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Well, with
that. The suspense is killing me.
Everyone, hold on there. Hold on. With that, we're going to take our quick break, and then we'll be right back after our sponsor to hear what Kevin has to share.
If this is the year you're ready to buy your first home, make sure you've got the best team of mortgage experts on your side. Triangle's mortgage team will work with you to get the financing you need when you're ready to purchase that home you've worked so hard to find. Our experienced originators guide you through the financing process so you can face the home buying journey with confidence. It's finally time to purchase that dream home. Do it with the mortgage team at Triangle Credit Union. Visit trianglecu.org to check our current rates and to schedule an appointment with one of our mortgage originators. NMLS number 528721, Equal Housing Opportunity. Federally insured by NCUA, certain restrictions may apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So, guys, what are some things that you wish you knew about money when you were younger?
Okay, so I've been waiting to say this. That's why I kept saying I'll Hold on. So I was talking about the place in life we find ourselves and about those secret millionaires. I think part of the financial literacy is, you know, the question you're asked here is what are some things I wish I knew about money when I was younger? So part of it would be frugality, being okay. frugal. And some of that is some of these guys and gals who have secret money is because they like a vehicle, for instance, right? They're fine with just whatever, something that gets them from where they're going, where other people like me probably want something that I shouldn't have because the cost of repairs and all that would make it just not a good good deal. I think one of the other things, because you mentioned about the guy, the example you gave about the guy in Vermont, yep. is one of the things I wish I knew when I was younger was about generosity. Mm. And why that's, I think, is a vital part of financial literacy is because money is so tied to us as individuals, because I had said at the beginning that because it's the way that we take care of ourselves, you can't get food without buying it. You need to buy something in order, even if you grow your own food, you got to buy something in order to do that. That money is inherent in the way that our culture is set up.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's easy to get caught in a situation where money becomes the most important, that it actually becomes a burden and takes away your freedom rather than being able to freely live in it. So financial literacy in that case was generosity helps you not be in that place. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. It's a good thing to practice for sure. I think that generosity is one of those things where we do it to benefit others, and it inadvertently also helps us out ourselves. And I feel like as the nature of what it is, the sooner you can do something like that and become a, make it a habit or a practice, the better for not only those around you, but also for yourself too.
Yeah, for sure. Stewardship as well. A lot about financial literacy is about stewardship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you can really change people's lives by, you know, helping them out financially in one way or another. You know, it's not always money that people need either, but in many ways, if you're in a position to help financially, it's not, you know, it's not always a bad thing to consider. So
yeah, little things, right? All of us know that with, we mentioned already with inflation, just the cost of food going up. When's the last time you went out to eat? Just the cost of eating out.
Yes.
I know recently, because I follow this YouTube guy who is a California dude, that I get all these things from California about where their state and local government is and their finances, right? They recently passed, it went into effect on April 1st, that I don't know about every fast food place, but a majority of the fast food places, their minimum wage is now $20 an hour.
Wow.
So what kind of impact is that going to have?
But their cost of living is crazy, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's.
But how do you, if you live there, you know, we did at one point, or my family and I, but it wasn't quite like that. But California was notoriously high. Their gas was like $2 more. So all that factors into your financial literacy.
Right.
And stewardship, generosity, frugality, those are some lessons I wish that I had learned. You know, in retrospect, I had a lot more as a kid than I felt like I did, but I always felt like I didn't have anything. So by the time I got to be of working age and worked, the first thing I did with the money that I got was like, cool, now I can have all the stuff I didn't have. So.
Right.
Now you can pay for it. You can afford it. Yeah. I think one of the things that I probably wish that I knew a little bit more about when I was younger was kind of the investing side of things. You know, I was always a saver by nature, but I never really knew much about putting that money to work for me. So learning about talking to somebody, you know, a financial professional who can kind of help you learn about the ins and outs of where to put your money, whether it's even a yield, a small yield bank account that'll give you some interest, stuff like that.
That's good. I hadn't even thought about that because I didn't have that understanding. Again, just from my background, feeling like you didn't have anything, it's like, how am I going to save?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I feel like that's kind of the catch 22 that we're in, is when you're younger, you typically don't have a lot of extra money, right? I mean, you're coming out of college and it's, you know, they say when you think about college, everybody is usually in the same predicament, you know, at a college. And you had mentioned it, Kevin, it's like ramen, rice and beans, you know, it's like everybody's in that same boat.
Cutting costs.
So, yeah. And younger is a relative term, right? So with me being the oldest person on this mic, on the on these microphones, like what is younger?
Like, that's like, completely up to you. It's basically
are you talking about last week?
It could be.
What did I learn? What did I know more about?
It could be 5 years ago for you. Like right. Something that you're like, man, I wish I'd known that in the past. Yeah. You know, that could have either helped me here or, you know, it could have been last week.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be all the way back when you were 12 years old.
Right.
But basically, is there something in your life that you were like, man, it would have been good for me to have used this, and I would have liked to have passed it on to somebody else.
Okay, I have one. The higher the deductible, the lower the premium.
Oh, insurances.
Insurances. Mm. Mm. Save some money there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Higher the deductible.
So you're saying that you would have preferred to have gone for a higher deductible to cut down the premium?
Yeah. When I was in college, because I didn't have my parents ended up buying my car. But when it was like my first car, I think I had like a $500 deductible. And, you know, the premium, I was driving this little Mazda RX-7 around. So, you know,
Kevin's shaking his head over like there.
$3,000 back then. It was a sporty little.
It was a sporty car.
And I would have to tell you, I was a little bit fast driving that car too. There were some things I look back on. I was like, thank you, God. Like, that's all I could say. It was like, whoa, that was a little scary. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure that I could probably have saved some money there. Yeah. And then shopping, you know, and we've mentioned this in the past too, Lizzie, on some of our old episodes, but shopping insurance, mm-hmm. you know, something that you should be doing, like, you know, if not every year, certainly every other year.
Right.
But don't you think that some of that financial literacy also goes to not just grabbing the thing that is the cheapest? You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. True. Yes.
Yeah. You know, not just my wife and I, when we had moved to California, I'm probably trusting to a fault, but someone came to the door selling Kirby vacuums and I believed everything he said. So we bought a Kirby. It was the most expensive vacuum I've ever seen, but we still have it. And this was, gosh, probably 15 years ago.
Okay. But I have to ask, how much does this thing weigh?
Well, it depends. 4,000 It's relative. Pounds. It's relative to the person who's lifting it.
My grandmother had one of those best vacuum ever. It was, that thing was
durable,
a monstrosity.
It's all ghetto,
so that's what I'm saying, is that value for money.
Yeah.
At the time, I couldn't really afford I don't know what it was. It was at least $1,200. I couldn't afford a $1,200 vacuum, but I still have it.
Yeah.
And it's still the best vacuum. And if I wanted to, it has a paint spray attachment, so I could.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
But we've used it many times. We still have it. The only thing we've had to put on it is a new belt and obviously new bags.
Yeah.
But regular vacuums cost, I'm sorry, folks, this is exactly what you wanted to hear. It's about, regular vacuums are now, they're like $400 a vacuum or something, aren't they? Or if you, and then they break and you got to replace them.
Yeah.
So some of that's that sort of argument, if you will, between do I get the Toyota or do I get the Mercedes? And there's a lot that goes into that, but I think it plays into the financial literacy about value
and doesn't it come down to affordability? You know, back then maybe you couldn't afford it and, you know, somehow you made it work, right? So, you know, I don't know.
You might have dodged a bullet.
I do have a question.
Really,
did the guy come back the following week to sell you some encyclopedias?
No, he didn't. It is a great vacuum.
It is. I will say the only thing about the Kirby, and I don't know if they make them any differently now, but I inherited the Kirby from my grandmother, and it was an amazing vacuum, but it was heavy.
It is heavy.
It's a heavy.
It is heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so. My family doesn't like it, but I like it.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Shampooed the carpets with it.
You can use it as a sprayer is amazing.
Yeah.
Blew up a pool, like a kiddie pool. With
yes,
it
right.
Does all that stuff. So
that's awesome.
I didn't know vacuums could do that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, I never thought, well, they had attachments for this stuff, I guess. Okay. Well, I think that's a good point, Kevin. I think that part of being like fiscally aware is being aware of the value of what you're paying for.
Yeah.
And sometimes a purchase that you're considering, you know, it may be on the higher end of the price point, But in terms of value, it's going to outlast the competition. And, you know, in many ways, you're going to be paying less over time. You know, theoretically, you're paying less over time than if you were to have to replace that vacuum 2 years down the line with another mm-hmm. $300 mm-hmm. machine mm-hmm. that's going to break in 2 years. So, you know, I think part of that is doing your research and understanding the purchases that you're making when it comes to spending money.
Right. So. And you nailed it, Lizzie. I feel like that a lot of this, you know, whatever financial dilemma you're facing, do some research, right? Yeah. Just go on and, you know, like how much is too much car? How much mm-hmm. is too much house? How much is, you know, too much college, right? So that's the kind of thing that you just have to, when you've got a fairly large ticket item that is something that you're going to have to afford over a longer period of time, do some research. And is, you know, is it too much? Yeah. There are a ton of resources out there in terms of they will like literally give you percentages that, you know, your car shouldn't be more than X percentage of your annual take home pay or your house, or you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. yeah, there's yeah. a lot yeah. of
that's good. I'm those glad guidelines. You mentioned that. Yeah, there's calculators, all those things.
100%
which part of the literacy is using that. And I think, again, I keep going back to this because I think the literacy is more than just the actual dollars and cents. That
right.
financial literacy comes to understanding just where you're coming from. And I know when I was a kid, one of the things that I struggled with is because, you know, I think At some points, the kids would make fun of you for certain things. So there's that, I need this or I need that because it's what's cool or it's what, and trying to avoid some of that stuff when it comes to your financial decisions so that you're doing what's best for you and not a reaction or something mm-hmm. that's more impulsive, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Planning.
Yeah.
Planning and strategizing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, we're starting to run out of time. So okay. I just want to kind of bring in this next concept and then we can kind of talk a little bit more about something that I think, Terry, we can share. Anyway, so when we think of financial literacy, a lot of times we think of young people. We've kind of touched on this already, kids, teens, stuff like that. So what are some of the best ways that you think that we can get young people and kids interested in learning about money and learning about finance?
Right. Well, the first thing, in my opinion, is that you have to make it fun. Whatever your program is, you have to make it engaging and fun. And Kevin's got, he's waving something around over there. So, Kevin, do you want to explain what that is?
No, you can explain it, but I wrote down next to that, I said, make it fun. That's the first
thing. Did you really?
Yeah.
We were on the same wavelength this morning? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
I don't know. That's kind of scary.
Totally. I'm like, eek.
Lizzie's like, I got to get
it. I know, right? It's catching.
Is this over?
I'll let you. This is your you ladies. This is your thing. So I'm not gonna do that. The other thing I put is make it relevant. So make it fun. Make it relevant.
Yeah, good.
And I
good
think
point.
You've done that.
And
with
again,
this
and we've talked about too, like make it relevant, right? I mean, you're not gonna sit a 5 year old down and start telling them about APRs and APYs, right?
Right.
I mean, like you gotta adjust it for the age, right?
Oh, I like what you did. Adjust it.
That is good. Man, it is catching. It's catching.
Oh no.
At any rate.
Okay, I'm gonna bring this back around. So one of the and when we take our picture today. Can we have this up too? That's like be nice, right? So marketing team at Triangle developed a curriculum last year and we're really excited about it because this year is really, it's our full launch and it's going to be going into several of our community reading programs, summer reading programs for young kids. The median age for the curriculum is 8. So there's some stuff in here that will, you know, be more appealing maybe to some younger kids. And then there are going to be some information in here that's going to be more pertinent to older kids. But the median age is 8, which means basically they should be able to read this. But we are delivering this program to many local libraries over the summer. So we're excited about that.
What's it called?
It's called, thank you, Kevin, for bringing it back around. It's called When Dollars Make Sense.
I really appreciated that. I really did. Because I got it and I really appreciate it.
And it's based on, there's seven, there's 3 sections here. There's savings, earning, and hold on 1 second, budgeting. So there's 3 parts to it. At the end of each, it kind of did Kevin, does this remind you of the old highlights?
Oh, very much.
Right?
So.
Yeah. It's fun. It's super fun. And Liz was a huge, I mean, she was our main contributor when it came to designing this. So Lizzie, you did such a great job.
Thank you. Well, you wrote the copy. So.
I wrote the copy.
I thought she wrote it for you.
No, she did.
She hinting at something.
Man, this is what I love working with Liz. I've said that 1,000 times and I'm going to keep saying it. It's like, I'll say, Lizzie, what about this? And then she gets me and then she takes it to she launches it. It's like amazing.
Can I just say to those of you listening, I hope that when you see this, I was very impressed when I saw this. Yeah. And it is amazing what the marketing team has come up with with this program.
And a big shout out to another team member. Her name is Casey. And she, at the end of each of these sections, there's a fun challenge. And Casey came up with all of the challenges. And actually, we're going to publish those on Pinterest too. So, and through our TCU University. So that is our new curriculum. So thank you, Lizzie, for that little plug. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
How can people get that? You said you're going to be launching it.
So right now it is designed for, I feel like that we're, are we paying him to ask these questions?
That's why you have me on.
I know, right? So it is going to be through specific reading programs, either at the local libraries, you can ask for it there, or also some of the other organizations. I'm not going to name names because I don't know how far along we are in those.
Where can kids, you said it's going to be available at summer programs and at libraries
right.
Is there anywhere else kids
can
access this?
So we'll make sure that we have it, a link in our show notes, right, Lizzie? But we'll also make it available on our website through our kids club or a kids webpage, and it will be available as a digital copy and also as a PDF so that they can download, like parents can download it and use it as, you know,
awesome.
They would like to do.
Yeah. You can flip through it, see what it's all about.
Yeah. I actually, coming from the branch side of things, when I saw that, I thought what a great incentive and something to share with, you know, maybe even as for me, it will become something that if I do open a kid's account that I can, hey, we have this thing, because I think this is really cool. And this touches on what I said in my first episode with you ladies, was that just teaching young people and investing in them in a lot of different things, but in particular through the credit union, I've encountered a lot of young people who need financial literacy and don't understand credit and stuff like that. So these are even further back than that, some of the more fundamental building blocks for kids, so that when they get to be teenagers, young adults, regardless of the input that they have from around them, they will have some foundation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
So it's very good. I'm very impressed.
What I like about it is that it's going to ignite some conversations between parents and children. And even if the parents are looking at it and like, well, I'm kind of have my own questions, at least there will be an opportunity to have a discussion.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Awesome. Well, it's the first step in making it fun, right?
Right.
Yes.
Making financial literacy fun for kids.
Yep. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, we are officially out of time. So I thank you guys so much for sharing your insight. And there's so much more we could talk about, you know, pertaining to this topic. So maybe we'll be able to bring it up again in future episodes.
Yeah, but absolutely.
As of now, we got to close out. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And we hope you all have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye, all.
That wraps up this episode of the Making Money Personal podcast. If you've enjoyed today's show, we would love to hear from you. Email your thoughts about this show or any other ideas at tcupodcast@trianglecu.org. Thank you to all of our subscribers. And if you haven't yet, please hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss out on any new episodes or money tips. Thank you for listening and have a great day.